something. Oh, oh, yeah, we up to something. Man, we are back. Episode 58 of the Swerve City Podcast. You see, this is the first episode of 2023. I am running solo today. My man Teezy doing some things with his family, with his children. But it's okay. We're going to get him back in here. You actually already seen this spot. He stayed over here a little while ago. We went to the Jaguars game. We had a blast and all that. His Titans lost. It was hilarious. But anyway, we are here. That was the clincher. Yeah, he's a Montezy is a Titans fan. So, like, we were happy because we were supporting the team.
Of course, you gotta support Jags. The boss.
Yeah. But we were all happy, and Teezy was not very happy. I took pictures. I put it on IG. It was a good time for me. But, yeah, so how do y'all like the new setup, y'all?
Yeah, it's great.
How do y'all like it? Well, you don't know. You've never been here before.
Oh, I thought you were talking to me.
You wait. We're talking to the audience. We're talking to the people. Yeah, I'm doing my opening monologue. You ever watch SNL? I gotta do my thing. So this is a really big jump for us. We got our little wall of fame over here. You see some of the greatest guests we've had over here. We've had some great legends.
Better get on the wall.
Yeah. That's great legends.
That's the caveat for this, right?
We got some, like, legends. Here. We got Hall of Famer, freaking legend right there, Jericho. We got Music Soul Child, R&B legend, music, like someone who's inspired me on the music side since I was a child. We got future Hall of Famer over there, Bailey, you know, Tony Khan, co-owner of the Jaguars, All Elite Wrestling owner over there, Pat McAfee, freaking pioneer tycoon media.
Matt McAfee's wearing a shirt.
He is, of course. I wouldn't expect him to, you know, for the brand. I wouldn't expect anything. You know, like Drew McIntyre, future Hall of Famer, and Hall of Fame legend herself, Miss Lisa Ann. If you don't know.
Nayland Palin.
Whoa. We don't say the P word around here.
What does she do?
We don't say she does entertainment. She's a great media sports person.
Yes.
Good transition. You could cut that.
What a heck of a transition.
Yeah. Anyway.
Good media sports person.
Anyway, truth be told, in this episode, we've been waiting to have another guest, actually. It wasn't supposed to be you guys.
No.
What a way to sweet talk.
Yeah.
It's great.
But, we were supposed to have another guy here, but, I got some visa issues, but you guys don't have visa issues.
No visa issues.
From the same country as well.
Yeah, that's right. Figure it out, Kenny.
Yeah. We've been waiting a month. He went to Japan, can't come down the street.
How about it?
Yeah. But we do got Daddy Magic and Angelo Parker here of the Jericho Appreciation Society. My guys, my friends, my pals, they have such a great story that we're going to discuss and talk about. We're going to get into it. They've been together for God knows, like, what plus 30 years. 30 years these guys known each other, been going on the grind in the business of professional wrestling, this industry. I call it the entertainment industry because I don't think there's a difference. I think it's all the same.
Nope. We're on a TV show.
Yep. Sports entertainment.
That's for sure.
So we got them guys. We're going to get into some things. But first of all, this is, what is this? January 27th. Right. It was when we're recording this. By the time y'all see it, it'll be like a week from now. We had a wonderful, amazing, beautifully done, like, I don't think it could have been done any better, to any more perfection, tribute show to, rest in peace, the late, great Jay Briscoe, former Ring of Honor, multi-time Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Champion for the company. Meant so much to, like, not only just to Ring of Honor, but the wrestling world itself. And you've seen, like, and for him to not be able to wrestle in certain companies and stuff, everybody, all those other companies still showed respect the night of his passing, which shows you how much impact he had.
Yeah, it was wild.
Like, you know, I was really, like, taken back by the news. And just to hear, like, Booker T announce that and pay those respects live on the air on NXT was a big, big deal. I don't think people – I think people actually don't understand the impact of that, how big of a deal that is.
One thing I love about, like, the weird thing about, you know, the wrestling industry now is that it's become really tribal.
Yeah,
you know, it was like that with WCW.
Like, this is ours. He's ours.
WCW fan. Yeah. Everyone's a WWE fan. But when something like that happens, it's really beautiful to see just all of that just go away. Because when it comes to that, that's real life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Whether you knew the dude or you didn't. You knew him by reputation. You knew his body of work.
Yes.
There's no question that they're one of the greatest tag teams in the history of professional wrestling.
Ever, ever.
And you honor that. Because at the end of the day, whether we're working for the same company or not, we're all part of this brotherhood that, you know, or brotherhood, sisterhood, all of this that just travels this road.
And yeah, fan base included, too. Because, yeah. I feel like everybody felt like they lost one of theirs. It's not like, oh, you lost one of yours. No, we lost ours.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like the DeMar Hamlin situation in the NFL with the Buffalo Bills. You know, like, all the fans, like, across the NFL felt it. It wasn't like, no, he's a Bill.
Yeah, I think all the teams changed their Twitter profile to the 3, right?
Yeah, like, people were painting the number, the 30, on the 30-yard line, they painted the 3 on
wearing his shirt for the warm-ups and stuff like that. Yeah, it's just nice. When something like that happens, everyone just bands together. And
like, Jay had never worked for the company or anything either.
You know? No, not once. But, like, they knew who he was. That shows you how, like, far, like, you may not know how much you are impacting your industry.
It's a great point.
You never know because, you know, you don't know. You're just going and you're going and you're going, and it's easy to get caught up with, like, what I could be doing, what I should be doing, where I want to be, but I'm not there. But you can look back and, like, sometimes there's people, like, you got a fan base of your own that just looks at, like, what you have done and be like, yo, this may not have.
They pointed out to you on Twitter.
They pointed out to you, or in person, They bring something, the sentimental value of like, you did like a 45-second promo in this city, in this arena, in this like show, but that 45 seconds like is a lifetime memory for this person. Yep. So like, don't ever like downplay how much of an impact that you have on your fan base.
You're right.
In what you do,
And we have to remember that as performers. Like, I think Dusty Rhodes had said, maybe I read in his book that. When he was booking cards, he knew it didn't matter if it was like a preliminary wrestler. That guy is somebody's favorite wrestler in the audience.
Yes.
And so he made sure to like book with everybody with respect.
Everybody had a care.
Exactly.
Yeah. Everybody mattered.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's something that Roman said. I remember hearing somebody say that, like, because I remember I wasn't there, but I was like, somebody told me this kind of story through third party type thing. Yeah. And somebody was just like a member of the roster was just, they weren't doing much that night, but they were on TV or whatever. They were like, hey, man, what you got tonight? They were like, nothing. I don't matter. It's just something.
Yeah.
Whatever. It was maybe just some backstage thing. And Roman just stopped and like held this dude's shoulder and was like, everybody matters.
Yeah.
And that like, just that kind of like from coming from him and speaking it like that. So directly to him. That kind of like that can change your whole perspective of your job that night.
Yeah,
and it's tough sometimes.
Yeah,
just think from the other guy's perspective, right? Like the real life aspect, because the more he's feeling that way for a reason, and then when cuts come around, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a wanting more is understandable, also.
Oh yeah. You know? Yeah. There's times you never want to feel like you're not. Giving to the product.
You're contributing.
At least contributing, being a valued member, whatever your role is.
Yeah.
Whatever that role is at any given time. But like a lot of it comes down to perspective.
Yep.
It's just life in general. Like you can have the worst perspective and have the greatest life and it's going to be awful.
For sure.
You'd have a great perspective and have a hard life and you're still going to get through. So you make the best of it.
Yeah.
It's also like, to Roman's point, it's like, if you take the little that you're given, you make the most of it and you own it, And it could lead to more.
It could lead to more.
It's almost like a Terry's lesson of being being given the red rooster, and he says, "Had I taken that and ran with it, and really, you know,
if he owned it,
could have done more.
What more could have come from that? You know, you never know. And that's basically the life lesson of these things. With like going back to Jay, like you never know.
Yeah.
So take every opportunity and make it the most out of it. No matter how small it is, no matter if it's like you're here in the arena rocking, you're not on TV, you're not in the match that night, but you got like a little small segment, like take them those little seconds to make an impression on somebody who's watching on YouTube, in the audience, like who's going to watch the episode that night, you know, like Rampage is on tonight, you know.
I feel like we've kind of been the kings of that.
That's why you guys are here.
Just making the most out of little fucking
that, but that's,
are we swearing? Can we curse? Are we not cursing?
You're giving him more work, but
you're beeping it out.
Yeah. You give him more work, but
my bad dog. That's true. You know.
Yeah, but like it, that's why I feel like you guys coming here with this perspective and speaking on those kind of things, like that's a testament to the business itself. that's a testament to all, like, you guys are the walking prime example of that, and I, like, thank respect you guys so much because of that. And, like, I wouldn't have you guys here if that was, if I didn't believe that.
Yeah.
You know, driving 50 miles out
of here. 35 miles.
Yeah.
An hour and a half. Yeah.
I just get out here to tell this story and make someone's night, make someone's life, man.
The red lights, guys. Yeah. I've had it.
It's enough.
Florida red lights.
On and up.
I can't.
Oh, they go on forever, these Florida, the red lights in Florida.
I don't make parties. I don't make many parties, man. Because I'm a minute late.
Why can't
I'm gone.
Why can't the red light just be, I don't know, 20 seconds, 30 seconds?
Just enough to get by.
Just give me a guy.
It goes 5 minutes.
Just give a guy a job. Sit him on the corner. Just put the paddle up. I want to go back to 1910. Put the paddle up. Just put the red paddle up. Boom.
Job creation. Boom.
And maybe you can negotiate with him, like, hey, my man, I've been here 12 seconds. Come on.
Come on here.
You know,
I remember Sami Zayn said once, blowing through a red light late at night, there's nobody around. He goes, that's a victimless crime. There's nobody around.
I remember in Mexico and tour buses, they would do that.
Yeah.
Like then, but they were like, had no intention of stopping. They were just driving.
Oh boy.
They were just cruising.
Well, because you can't stop sometimes in Mexico.
With those buses though, like you were not stopping. But I was
Garza has some stories of stopping.
Oh, boy. Oh my goodness.
I don't know if we
have. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember those. I remember those.
The other day I was losing my mind. I'm just trying to take a left turn, sitting at that red, at a red light. And the thing is, everybody else at the intersection turning left to come this way, of course, they don't appreciate, they don't respect a yellow light. They try and sneak in. They sit there and they block the entire intersection.
Yellow doesn't mean maybe.
One time, okay, fine, it happens. Two times in a row at this light, I was losing my mind. I was there for like 7 minutes. I was good, trying to just go and get some groceries.
Man, so we are in 2023 right now.
Oh, yeah.
Who, like would you guys ever would have thought that y'all would have been in a wrestling sports entertainment faction on Television Weekly with one of the greatest wrestlers of our generation of all time, Chris Jericho, in 2023 in America?
Not a chance.
Could have never in America.
Just could have never imagined.
In America.
You think to where we were 2 years ago, I guess now, you know?
Yeah, yep, dude.
Right, buried in a factory, just not getting any eyes. No, nobody really gives a damn. It's just like, what do we got to do to get noticed? So we start a YouTube thing.
Which I love that thing. Like, elaborate on it to these people at home, you know?
Yeah, so when we were in the WWE, we felt like we had nothing going. So we decided to take matters into our own hand and create a show, just a YouTube show, kind of like what we're doing right here.
Yeah.
It's just the two of us. It was almost started as a parody of a show.
Yeah, so like...
So they had a, like, sorry, Talking Smack.
Yeah.
And Raw Talk.
Yeah.
And the initial idea was to do a parody of that for 205 Live.
Yeah, Taco 5 Live. Yeah. That was the original idea, to just kind of like do a parody of it, because again, we're on this show, 205 Live, which gets no love. Like, gets no love.
You were there?
Yeah, exactly.
I was around,
Tons of talent.
Some
like,
feud?
Great stuff.
I guarantee you they wish they had that 205 Live roster right about now.
Right?
Like, there's a lot of gems. There's a ton loaded with gems.
And I think it's just the history of the show. We were just so happened to be that roster at that time that was also, and then we're in the PC area.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's opportunity, but it's like, it's just off to the wayside. Like, sure, you can do something on that show that can catch some eyes, but man, you're fighting an uphill battle.
It's kind of like the higher ups. Are they even watching?
Yeah.
Are they even watching?
Yeah.
But they were. I remember one time I had a match with, I'm going to say his name, Jack Gallagher.
Yeah. I remember.
And I came to the back. Paul Heyman said, I love the finish to that match.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. So I'm like, that's why I'm like, I always give like my creative all.
Of course.
Something. Yeah. I'm not necessarily going to like kill myself to like make sure somebody sees it, but like.
Calculated risk.
Yeah, but like.
Calculated risk.
But it was just like, okay, I'm going to put my creative prowess out there. I'm not going to like. Pulled out like, let's just go.
No, this is the opportunity you're being given.
Yeah.
You go and you make the most of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just felt like we were on an island sometimes.
For sure.
So we knew we needed to do something.
Yeah.
We knew we needed to do something. So we got with one of the social media guys, Anthony. We just said, hey, because first we started by just doing promos for like on, we'll just put them on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, okay, you're not going to put it on WWE Digital or whatever, but like, we know that in order for us to stand out, we have to talk. We weren't getting opportunity to talk on 205 or on NXT, so we're like, if we don't talk, you're basically handcuffing
us. Yeah, and they're not just going to go, oh, hey, you guys, you here's 30 seconds of TV time, just go talk.
Yeah.
That's just not going to happen. You have to show them that you can talk. And like promo class with Ryan Katz, I mean, we would do those every week. You did them as well, and that was another thing. Like, I mean, we showed what we could do, but did it matter? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Thing?
It was sometimes like, I always try, like, because once again, you get in that mix of like, who's seeing this? Where is it going? Right. What does it matter? But there were sometimes those exercises was just like fun for me. Like,
Of course.
Especially when it was like live and you had to like, react to this person coming out down the ring. You did I was like, I like this.
There was good coaching involved, and you're getting your reps in, and you could train stuff, and you're throwing things against the wall. But as far as, I don't know, like getting noticed for television, I don't think that was the case. At least not for us.
We were also getting a lot of feedback of being like, you're really good at what you do, but don't do it.
At least for those promo classes.
And which I do understand. And I do get that. But at the same time where it's like, well, in this promo class, I got to show you what
I got to give you the best.
You can put on
best
TV.
Version. Yes.
Right.
I got to show you that.
Yes.
And like, they were just like, well, we don't do 80s wrestling.
Or it's like, we know you, you're great at this. And we know you can do that. So this week, just try something else. But then I'm like, if we try something else and that's what Hunter sees or somebody, you know what I mean? Mm. And it's, you know, the PC is such a mind.
I think we got the vibe that they didn't want us to be us or they didn't understand what we were.
Right.
So we just said, well, let's show them.
Yeah.
Mm. And we created this little show. Like it started as a parody. Right. But then it just became like, well, we're conceptualizing, like, what do we do? Well, let's do a talk show. Where we just talk, we'll talk about what's going on. And like, and then that just started to grow. Like, we're just doing it for Twitter at first. We're just filming it for ourselves putting it on our own Twitter.
I remember because it was, we were doing the promos, like you said, we were doing promos every week. But if you're not booked in a match, you're not going to have a promo. Like, you don't have anything to talk about. So it's just like,
this looks very Adam's Family-ish.
I agree. Continue. I agree.
That's the one I'm talking about.
If we have a show that's about the show,
we got something to talk about. And also being at the Performance Center, well, now we can get people in the mix. Like, we can just have Dexter Loomis show up and be creepy, or you know what I mean? Like, just have somebody around. And that just started to kind of, like, it took off a little bit on our Twitters.
Yes, so, I was tuning in every week.
It was by, like, the 7th or 8th episode, now they're starting to have talk of, like, Anthony's pushing it through to be like, hey, can we get this on the 205 Live Twitter?
That's right.
Yeah, shout out
more
Anthony.
Reach. Yeah. Okay, cool. So for, I think, 2 weeks, we moved it over to the 205 thing. And then we, on our own, just started pushing, like, why isn't this on the NXT on the, Twitter?
Or, yeah, that's right, went to NXT.
Because we were just like, we're getting numbers. There's views here. Yeah. People are watching it. Put it like
William Shatner was retweeting it.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
Commenting William Shatner. Yeah.
William Shatner.
McAfee.
Yeah.
But that like you never know who's reaching. That's why I say like you got to put your all into certain things because you never know who's reaching it. You never know like these phones are way more powerful, kind of too powerful.
Because your mistakes will live forever.
Yes, they will. And it's written in ink blot. Yeah. But this is so powerful. You never know how far you can reach just by like somebody like a third party that William Shatner's following could just retweet it and it catches his eye. It's just like it's you got a more of a chance of it than like a mixtape spawning on Dr. Dre's desk. I'll tell you that much.
And it also speaks to the power of relationships too. Because I mean, like when you're this applies to so many things. But like we're talking about Jay Briscoe earlier, this applies to him as well. It's like he touched everybody he had a relationship with, whether you're friends or because he's just an amazing person.
Yeah.
Like just to lit up rooms that he's in.
That's what life's about.
And so like through that was like, well, people like us as people. So they're, you're doing something fun. Let me throw a retweet here. Oh, I'm willing to help you guys because I see you guys are helping. Yep. You're good dudes. And
you're working hard.
Doing something.
People respect hard work. Yeah. You know what I mean? So they're more willing to help you out. You know, as I'm sure you found out throughout your
the same time y'all were doing that, we were doing this and growing this and building relationships. Yeah. And I was like, I have a relationship with Pat. I have a relationship with so-and-so. I have a relationship with these guys. You know, because like, they respect you.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's how like you got this on the network at one point in time, right? Like that's you're not getting that if you're a terrible person.
No.
No matter how good your stuff is, no matter what you do to get it on,
they knew what we were responsible enough to give them stuff that they could put on. Yeah. We're just raunchiness, blah blah blah.
I forgot that happened. What an accomplishment.
That's
thank you.
No, for sure.
Yeah. But
so yeah, we got onto the NXT Twitter,
and then to the WWE Twitter, and then
but you had them stages, and I like that. Yeah, I like to see that it was boom. Well, it's, boom,
like you were
boom.
Saying, it was gaining trust. It was like, oh,
equity,
we see what they're doing.
That equity word.
Yeah, there you go, the sweat equity. Sweat equity.
I think a big part of what helped us in that aspect is we were doing the show obviously to get ourselves over, but we weren't going into business for ourselves. We were
that's the difference.
We were respecting if we had like Karrion Kross on, for example. We were respecting what his he was character. Doing on TV.
Didn't make him look like a fool.
Dexter Loom. Yeah. We were trying to make sure, and like not trying to create storylines for ourselves, not shitting on the product, not saying this and that, like just being positive, promoting everything, and just showing, hey, here's us as people.
Do you think that's where like a lot of people get mixed up with like, oh man, like I didn't get the opportunity. Well, what was your intentions?
It could happen.
You know what I mean? I think that's why a lot of people sometimes don't get those opportunities or don't go any further with it because they see what the real intention is behind it. It's not pure. It's a give and take.
Yes.
It has to be something for them too.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
You know,
of course. And look, it's hard to resist. It's hard to resist when you feel like you're fighting something and you got to find something to break out and stand out. Yeah. To not
people
like
have to trust you.
Be super focused on, well, this is what I want to do and this is what I want to
present. You're searching for something that's going to get loud and it's going to take viral. Yeah. But then it's like, okay, was it worth it? Because in the end, it didn't really.
Right.
You didn't gain growth from it. It just happened.
So, so we moved to WWE Twitter, went to the YouTube. And then I think, well, that was right at the end, right before we got the old bootski. But at some point, somebody had taken notice.
Yeah.
It got Hunter's attention, and he started writing it into the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Into the NXT show. So that was cool.
Because we got coffee.
Never got to pay it off.
We never did. We got coffee mugs made for it. We made it a whole thing. Like, just the coffee mug is a thing. Like, we did that on our own.
Yeah.
And then eventually, we're like, okay, they brought out a t-shirt for us. And that t-shirt sold really well. For people who literally weren't on TV, on 205 Live and were doing this show, we sold out.
Yeah.
And that was like,
that's right, they did sell out. They sold out. The initial batch.
And that was kind of like, that was the first thing we're like,
could have been 20 shirts, but you know, they still sold out.
That's 20 fans.
But that was the first time where it was like, there was that noticeable, like, oh, I think these dudes are doing something. Yeah. So yeah, Hunter starts writing into the show, like we do little stuff, just being in the back, sipping on our mugs while some drama's going on or stuff like that. Like, it was starting to, and then we started having discussions about getting it on the WWE YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, we want this on the show, on the channel. We're like, all right, let's go. Well, let's lay it out. What does that entail? So we film the first one for it, goes up, really good numbers, awesome show. Do the second one. Before we got to the third one, we got canned.
Yeah.
See you later.
Yeah. No, sorry, it was only one. We only did one.
Is that three's a charm?
But so got all the way up there with it, and then
I love like the y'all had that camaraderie and that chemistry, like doing the show. Where did that stem from? Where did that start? Like back in Canada, where are you guys originally from?
Montreal.
Outside of Montreal. Yeah.
Okay.
South Shore.
It really just comes from like so. I think it comes from our time in Chikara mostly. Honest. Because like, I mean, I can openly admit that we're not going to go into the ring and wow you with our physical abilities. It's just not going to happen. Like when you have guys in this world like your Pox and Rick Shazen do this stuff that's incredibly athletic, Phoenix and stuff like that, and then you have people who are just physical specimens.
We're seeing 7-6 man tags,
like,
and all of them are spectacular and not like the other
sidebar on that, like, but the creativity to do 7 of those matches and all of them are so terribly
all of them
beautifully
different.
Just
different.
But we knew that going in with that, like, and
how do you stand out?
And I think Quackenbush also realized that too. It was like they were very big on DVD sales, and before every match, they do promos. So we started doing those every single time we're on a show, and that kind of just built. Like we worked through a lot. Like you go back and watch some of the old ones now. I'm like, oh, they're so bad.
It was even like before that, though, right? Like IWS was the same thing.
Yeah.
And the
watching
thing about,
this,
right? The thing about Quebec is, the company that we started was very predominantly French.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're the two English guys in this French company. But the thing about Quebecois or the Quebecois people is that they're very how could you say, like, they're hungry to be part of like American culture or
okay.
So because we are English, that like they put us on a pedestal in a way, and we're kind of goofy, and I think that's really where it is.
Yeah. Yeah, because really IWS, would, they were ahead of their time. Yeah. IWS had an internet show called Bloodstream. I don't even know how it went out. I don't even know what platform was
some
on.
Of this, they, is before they, I YouTube. Think they just had their own bandwidth and put it out because they the were website, with yeah. Wild Rose.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Which was a, like a porn company, yep. Basically.
Hell yeah. So they were having that. It was ahead of its time.
That's good.
So I think, yeah.
A real pervert, Swerve.
Hey, I respect the S workers.
Yeah. You know?
They need their rights.
It's just a lot of workers. It's a lot of years of promos, a lot of years sports and a lot of hours in cars. You know, yeah. A lot of time, yes. a lot of it comes from just trying to pop the boys. To be honest,
yeah, that's usually
that is where a lot of it comes.
It's
from.
A lot of gems come
just
from
trying
that.
To pop the boys.
Oh, buddy, laughed at this. Okay, maybe
yeah. Try this.
I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
You figure yeah. if you can pop the boys, we're the most cynical of them all.
Yeah, we're the hardest critics.
Most cynical.
We're worse.
You know, because.
Like seen it, done it.
Yeah, in stand-up comedy, it's the same too, right? Yep. It's hard to impress another comedian.
If you watch our show, like we're episode 58 now, like throughout many of our seasons episodes, we kind of streamline a lot of our experiences with all these other different forms of entertainment, and there's a lot of similarities with them. Everybody's hitting spots, Lisa Ann, and we're all like kind of like going in and like kind of like going through the same struggle. And have the same beats and rhythms, especially with like entertaining an audience,
very
crowd.
So.
You know, so
trying to stand out, trying to find something that makes you unique.
Yes, yes. In a world with a lot of options, oh
boy, that's for sure.
A lot of options, a lot of free options.
Popping the boys, that feels good, huh?
Oh, it's the
you
best.
You pop the boys,
it's the best.
Oh, so good. Yeah. Like sometimes we.
It's an internal
you pop Jericho.
Internal
and
badge.
And then he goes, "You got to use that on TV." You know?
Yeah.
It feels good.
Yeah.
You know? Oh my goodness! Like I love the vets that are like that. The older vets that just be like, oh my god, oh yeah, we got it.
It's good.
Yeah, it's good. Like can we save that one?
It's a sidebar. There's one thing I will say about that dude is that he's so smart as to what works or to what can work. He's very much in touch with the pulses. You know, somebody's been doing it forever. Like it's pretty simple for someone in that position to stay stuck in their ways.
Yeah.
Right? Like to say, this is what works.
Yeah.
This is what works. And he's not wrong, but also this could work. So
he's so open-minded to anything. Like when we did the PWG a couple weeks ago, he was so open to everybody's ideas and wanting to work with the PWG guys.
Yeah. I feel like he understands the idea of like, well, this is what's like this is what's it's well no this is what it's built itself to be.
Yeah.
Why would I try to?
Yeah.
And no, this is what we're doing because this is what works.
Yeah.
Like no, follow along with what this is what's built this cult following.
Yes.
And stuff. So you kind of all right. Let me gel in.
Yeah.
Let me you know.
But you have to.
You know.
He did the slow motion spot. Yeah. With them.
Yeah. You don't like
with
you don't
us,
go
with everybody.
You don't go to a house party that plays like oh I don't listen to this music so I'm gonna
let's put on some
this is that good stuff. This is the stuff that's always chart top.
A little loop Brian,
chart
little
topping
Teddy
over here.
Pendergrass right now.
Yeah.
Let's really bring this
come
down.
On. go into that since we're talking about the old man Jericho. You know, like
don't say that.
Whoa.
Easy.
Nah, like he's the best.
Yes,
it's just he really is.
How did y'all get into the society?
So
good question.
We
try to figure it out.
Kinda, like met him when we were doing extra work for WWE at times, but like that's about it.
Yeah,
right? Like Kevin would just be like, oh, here's my buddies, and we'd say, hey. But after we got released from WWE, Kevin Owens reached out to him and just said, hey, can you get my buddies on the podcast? Like, they're good dudes. Like, they just need something.
Canadian.
They need
I think that podcast really, like, hit the waves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, really big.
Well,
I remember.
You know, the first thing we do after getting released, which is always a hot topic, right? Like, everyone wants to hear the story. And we had never been on it. So it's cool. And, like, he just said, all right, I don't know these people. But I trust you.
Yeah,
so
trust Kevin.
I guess have him come to my house.
Invited us to his house.
Which is
amazing.
That podcast.
Yeah. Showed up with a big bottle of Grey Goose.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Some maple syrup for
call.
Him.
Yeah.
Where's my Grey Goose? Jesus Christ. That's why you get Dasani.
The worst of the waters, too.
Dasani, the worst water.
It was the first thing that they had at the door.
So for a reason. We do that podcast, and like we just hit it off. Like as pals. Yeah. Like we do the podcast, and we sat around and shot the shit for a while, and it was just like, oh, we get along. Awesome. And like, it's funny because we did that podcast on a Monday.
Yeah.
On Tuesday, we were going to Jacksonville to do dark for AEW. Mm-hmm. And then Wednesday was the homecoming where we ended up on TV there. But so we finished the podcast and Chris is like, all right, because I know you, what do you have left on your no compete clause? What's going on? He goes, I'm going to see if I can get you guys.
He was going to like put a word
you guys,
in.
You know, some work and hopefully try all to get
word.
You.
And then we were like, mm-hmm.
Well,
funny thing.
That's a heavy word.
Funny
just
thing.
So happens that we already signed, so we'll see you tomorrow.
He's like, hey, you didn't tell me. It's like, yeah, but you don't know. You don't know what's a test, what's not a test.
Yeah, we're coming off of WWE PTSD where
that becomes a thing.
Right?
Yeah. Like, oh, did I say too much?
So, yeah, I mean, he's told this story a lot, too, from his view. But he was feuding with Eddie Kingston at the time. And since we started with the company, we'd been in a feud with Eddie Kingston and John Moxley, kind of just always kind of coming together in some different ways.
God, that is wild.
So
that's how we started.
They were kind of using us in that as a little bit of a piece to bridge the gap between them. And that was kind of our role.
They had like a two, three months before the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Right. You know, this is Revolution.
So this is December. So to bridge to get to December to March, they were going to use us a little bit. You know what I mean?
Was that once again, it's a role.
Yes, absolutely.
That connected these big acts to get to somewhere and destination. It doesn't get there without these roles.
Yeah. That was really our role for the first year. Like with us and Garcia, was just kind of like
the Darby Punk.
Yeah, beatable group of, like, we can get beat and not be hurt, and we can help bridge the gap to lead to this. So bring these people to go to here or help them get wins to go here. And that was like, oh, perfect. Excellent. Love this role. That's great. Like, we're getting a ton of TV time. Yeah. Like, it's not a lot, but some people are complaining, oh, they're getting really pushed. I'm like, getting pushed, we were just being utilized as a utility role. Great.
People are like, I think our generation or our fan, like,
it's too comfy, guys.
I told you, that's yawn one. I'm counting,
it's just yawn. I gotta get some water.
So, like, they're like, I think they don't see the how valuable a valuable loss can be, and there's weight to that. Like
we're heels, we can lose.
Yeah.
Or a baby face can lose.
Yes.
A baby face can lose and come out better on the other end. Like, people need to see a little bit of, like, you know, like,
overcome something.
Overcome, like, but, or like, I understood that pain. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to understand that person's pain.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
Of course.
We need to understand
pain. You can
relate
to Superman. You know, not too many people.
Because there's no pain.
No.
There's no pain to it. But I can understand the pain of, like, getting so close, fighting so much, or, like, I know he's better than him, but he still lost. Mm-hmm. Like, what? Like, there's multiple different layers of pain and loss, and there's value to that. And I don't think, like, our generation is used to that anymore.
No, I don't think so either. It's the, like, what we do is basically trying to get an emotional reaction. At the end of the day, that's what we're doing. We're making connections, trying to get an emotional reaction. And if there's no struggle, well, then where's an emotional reaction?
Right. No. So we were bridging that gap for them to get the Revolution.
Yes.
And at some point, Chris had the idea to, somebody had planted a seed with Santana and Ortiz that, like, there was a little friction
King
there.
During a promo, he basically said that the reason Santana and Ortiz hadn't won
Chris.
The tag titles is because of Chris.
I remember that promo.
The Inner Circle.
I remember that.
And that planted a seed in Chris's mind. We're like, oh, man, maybe. And I think he was hearing maybe, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but the reaction of things. And and Chris always knows, as we know, he knows when it's time for a change, right?
Read the room.
Yeah, read the room. And he knows when it's time to switch things up. And he's like, I think this is an opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. Split the Inner Circle and start a whole new thing.
Yeah.
And who am I going to start a whole new thing with?
Yeah. I've heard him say it this way, because there was a possibility of them splitting up us and Garcia. And Chris was like, wow, they've done so much work over the last year. And, like, really, we really made sure that when we started, we're like, the three of us got together said, look,
we're together all the time.
This is our thing now. We're a crew. We're not just we're becoming best friends because our livelihood depends on each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we did everything to make sure that, hey, like, even if we're not being featured, we're not being pushed, whatever it is, people are going to know that we are a thing.
We'll click.
So Chris was like, well, why would you break them up? Like, why don't you keep them together? Better yet,
you already got the
you
roots
keep
planted
them
in
better. Yeah. Why don't you keep them together
with me? Yeah.
So that was where it started. And then he obviously wanted to keep Jake. So that's just kind of how it came together. And that was during that storyline. He knew that it was time to pivot from Inner Circle. He knew it was time for him to turn. he didn't feel like it was right to split the three of us up.
So he took us on.
Right there.
The orphans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And made a home. Yeah.
I would like that to be our little, like, you know, like there's a big group, but then like this section of it, they're the orphans.
Yeah.
I would like that. You know? Yeah. You know? I would like that. It's like there's the outsiders in the NWO, you know, like
the orphans.
We're the orphans. I like that word because of the Warriors movie.
Yeah.
Right.
Like
yeah.
The orphans. We're the orphans.
That's just
me.
Make it.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Man, talk about the blood and guts match.
Blood and guts match.
The B's and the G's.
Yeah, yeah. That was something.
Yeah.
Detroit. Yeah. 10,000 people.
Yeah.
Live on television. And the timing of that match.
Yeah.
And making sure you get to your commercial breaks and this and that.
And everybody's just so spread out. Oh, so wide.
How do you communicate?
So, I remember when it first came up, when the idea of it first came up, like it's intimidating.
He's missing his spot. He's way over there.
It's intimidating.
Same
when
thing
you
with the Anarchy.
Anarchy
was incredible. Yeah. I had to follow that shit.
Yeah, you did.
Oh,
yeah.
You guys
were in a rough spot. You were right before the main, right?
We were matched 14.
Of a 10-hour show.
More.
Y'all went everywhere. Y'all hit the cameras.
Yeah. My blood is still stained on the T-Mobile arena.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that one was, Anarchy was nuts. Blood and Guts was crazy, but like, man, I thought I was very close to passing away in that match. I bled so much.
And it was like coagulated.
Hanging upside down.
Yeah, that was like, I had stopped bleeding at that point, finally. And then I did that hanging upside down thing, and I'm just looking down, and I'm just seeing it pouring. Yeah. And
so
like,
with that, I think of like the Jimmy Jacobs.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it was Age of the Fall.
Oh, that was the Age of the Fall where he's hanging from the thing.
Every time I see anybody upside down.
Was that the Briscoes?
Yeah, it was the Briscoes.
That was the Briscoes. Yep.
It was Age of the Fall, and it was also Predator. I got that from Predator.
Yep.
It's something I saw. But that one was crazy. Like, it's crazy to like take a step back from that and realize what it was, because it was like, you know, it's going to be a constant thing in a conversation. But it was like, when you look at where we were not too long ago, like a year and a half, I guess it was to that point, like just trying to do this YouTube show just to stand out.
It was the same week.
Being in like,
that we had gotten let go.
Yeah.
It was the same week that Blood and Guts match was the same week a year prior.
Yeah.
We had been let go at the end of June 2001.
And then you're in this ridiculous match with four different former world champions in there.
Oh, yeah.
And like
Chris, Moxley, Swagger, Hager.
Chris.
Three world champions.
Yeah.
And Hall of Famers.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's so,
Brian wasn't in that one. Brian was in the other one.
Yeah, but still, like, that adds that to that resume.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just think about, like, the jump from, like, your resume in those weeks and months. And like I said, every time we were walking past the hallway, I would say how proud of you guys I am.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like, because I know the pain y'all were going through. I know the struggling.
You're hungry.
I was hungry. Like,
How many times were you sitting around at the PC just knowing you can do more?
Knowing you have
something to offer.
So much
knowing
more to
you
give.
Can contribute.
Who do I give it to?
Right. And you're just like, there comes a point where you're waiting, because you know that a lot of this job is just waiting for the opportunity to come and staying ready for it.
Then it gets to the point you get in those dark thoughts. I'm like, you don't want to be there, but like, it's not like, who do you get it? Who gives it to you? Who do you take it from?
Right.
And now it's sort of like, I don't want to get to there, but that's
there is a sink or swim element to it.
There is. Like, it was a brotherhood.
Because the clock is ticking. The clock is always ticking.
Yep.
You know what I mean? On your contract, on your life, like, it's always ticking. So sometimes it just becomes now. It's now or never.
I always say that. I always say, okay, boom, debut. The clock's ticking.
Yeah.
When is it going to get dry?
It's like
new move. Clock is ticking. When are people going to get tired of it?
Mm-hmm. Or it's always I like to say, what's next?
Yep.
It's always what's next?
New gear. When is it time to switch it up?
This is going to come to an end, and then what? And then what's after that?
Yep.
You know what I mean? And you got to keep that ball rolling. But back to the match, it was so. And the thing about that match, so this is. How many guys? Four, five guys? Six guys. It was six on six.
Six on six.
That alone is just
2-minute intervals or whatever. But what people don't realize, what people forget about that match is Santana blows out his knee in the middle of that match. So we just...
It was early, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. The first third of the match. We just lose a guy who's intricate to the entire thing. So everything had to get reshuffled live on television.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
When you're spread out.
And so Santana was in the match.
Where's the Fightful Awards for that?
He was in the match for 30 seconds, man, and I got dumped on my head, tore my rotator cuff and my labrum.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much I can do or how much I can do, you know, not do. And he just got taken out. So I'm like, I got to stay in. I can't leave. I'm not leaving.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And Bryce is checking on me and he's like, okay, can you go? What do? I go, I'm staying.
Yeah.
And I know I figured this out. At the end, I have a torn shoulder. I still got to climb to the top of the fucking cage.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
With blood coming down and thumbtacks in my boots.
And you're dealing with the chaos of TV timing, all this kind of stuff. And it's just like, it's weird because I remember it, but I don't remember it.
Oh, it's a blur.
Because it was so chaos. It's like, you knew where you had to be, but then you're like, oh, is okay. Santana's like you're saying, Santana's out.
It's a lot of, okay, so many moving parts.
Yeah. How do we fix this? Okay, we know what's next, but okay, someone shuffled in. Okay, cool. We're good for now.
Jeez, that's what happened with Eddie Kingston.
Great.
Okay.
And that's the wild thing. Like, usually these things are pay-per-view, so you don't have those breaks. This is like a live television.
Yeah.
Like, we're here. Yeah. This is a Wednesday.
Yeah. It's a Wednesday night.
This is a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
What we do on
Wednesday. I gotta take my kids to school.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But yeah. That promo that you cut after that is got the world talking. And that's once again, sure. Showcase what these guys can do, their specialties. Yeah. You can plant these guys anywhere and make, you know, like they connect the dots, but this is where they're not just dots. They're bullets. Yeah. I think that promo.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely.
So people see us, we're funny guys, we like to have a good time.
Yeah.
Fun stuff, but there's something about when that blood is dripping down your face, you know what I mean? It just takes over. And the emotion of the match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was perfect timing. Yeah,
being hot right after a big match on television, and you have the blood, and my son had just started walking the day before.
Mm-hmm.
And I had missed that because I was at rehearsal for the match, and it all just came out.
I think it's a lot of I think it's a lot of well-placed frustration too. Cause like it's easy to be frustrated and go on rants that are negative.
Yeah.
I think with those and like what we were doing at that time was really pushing like those, like, oh, we sat in a warehouse for 2.5 years and like not complaining about it, but like it didn't go our way, but now things are coming. So like, let's channel this into this energy of like, man, we're here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like that's what it kind of was.
Yeah. At
that point in time. Those
felt brother, great. brother lost some weight, huh?
Yeah, he did.
Like you said, you know, and everything in that promo was real. Like, we were telling the story of Chris Jericho, mm-hmm. how we hooked up, and at one point I say something like, you know, we had nothing, and this guy gave us his hand, and that is real.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's very real.
It is, and I think, like, that's the real elements fans want to see. I don't think people want to see drama real.
No.
Like, you know, or it does get a little like, mm-hmm. or you don't want people uncomfortable in their seats at home watching. Yes. That's the real that we talk about in this art of like, it's a blurred line. Like,
yes.
Is he really talking about his child?
Yeah. Did this really happen?
Did this really, even if it wasn't yesterday, it could have been 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But you push it a little. That could still be elements of it.
You can put a little GST on there.
Yeah.
As Vito would say.
Yeah. You know, that's where you get people like, you sent them a little closer, and that's what I appreciate about those kind of things. And that's like, I think that's what our business is built on. And that's
also not something you can do every week either.
No,
that is true.
It's special moments.
No,
it's like we've all seen them. Sometimes someone's trying to do that, and it's not the right moment.
Nope. Nope.
Or like,
I'm not a fan of necessarily yelling every week either.
No,
every promo, every promo is yelling. Every promo is yelling. I'm not a fan of that either. Because there's a time to yell.
Yeah.
Like me, people have not seen me yell on camera yet.
Yeah.
So it's like it's something you're saving.
I'm saving because I need I'm more of like, I study more of like the Daniel Day-Lewis's. Mm-hmm. Like I talk more scintillating.
Subtle.
It's my eyes. I use my eyes a lot on things, or like a Jake the Snake Roberts. He's just like I'm in control of this. I'm in control of this whole situation right now.
You're forcing you to pay attention.
But I'm not letting you get me riled up. Yeah. I control that. Yeah. Not you.
There's
not
this,
you.
There's this little thing that you do that I like. I don't know if it's intentional or not, but it's almost like anytime you, whenever we have those walk-in promos, you don't go face to face. That you kind of almost like you're whispering into their ear.
Oh yeah.
It's just such a little subtle thing. That's like it's a body language and like an intention thing.
It's uncomfortable. Yeah, it's like know. I want to make the people I'm with or on camera with uncomfortable of my presence.
Yeah,
you know I'm
getting their bubble.
Yes. Like and like people are like, oh, he's awfully close, like watching. You know what I mean? Like even with Renee, like, I get a little uncomfortable.
What's gonna happen?
Exactly. Right? There's like people think like this is the day he snaps.
Yeah.
This is the day that this is the one.
They're very close.
Like, yeah.
It's like a wrestling match. Like the coaches say, if you create too much space, people. They relax. They know nothing's going to happen.
It's not. There's no danger.
Right. There's no danger.
Yeah.
You're in somebody's face in a promo.
It's kind of like Jurassic Park. They're getting closer. They're getting closer. Now they're in the kitchen. Now they're with the kids. And now, you know, the water's bumping. Like, oh, danger is afoot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Man, I said, this is myself to you. I'm sure if TZ was here in this box, this gaming box right here sitting
in
this chair,
the box.
You know, he would. He's a fan of yours as well. We talk wrestling every week. I talk to that man every day.
Yeah.
We talk wrestling every day. We talk music. We talk movies, comics, video games, all of it. And we always make sure like you guys are always in our conversation of like what's popping on television.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're like what's really caught our eyes, you know. And like even just like simple as the jackets. I'm a fan of the jackets. I like jackets. You know me.
Jackets
I'm a jacket
are the best.
Guy.
You are a jacket.
I'm a jacket
guy.
Jacket. I'm a denim jacket guy.
Yeah.
So I see a nice jacket. I'm like, my man.
He does. He loves jackets.
Yeah. I love a jacket. Yeah. Hot, cold, I'm wearing a jacket.
That's one thing that's really been nice about like with the Jericho thing too, is it really gave us a way to just put a new identity to ourselves too. Cause like he said always dress like a star.
Always dress like a star.
What's that look? Well, you gotta figure it out.
I remember
and then you have fun with it. A blast.
The first time we all cut a promo together, it was in Texas somewhere, San Antonio probably. Freedom Coliseum. So we're all we changed the way we dress, right? We're all like the jackets, whatever. Yep. And Sanjay comes up to me right before we go out. He goes, "This has completely changed my perception of you guys." That was
a
direct quote.
Yeah.
This has completely changed my perception.
Instantly.
Of you guys.
Yeah.
Those subtle things.
Yeah.
Good pair of white pants.
Those subtle things.
Yeah.
Like can mean so much, a world of difference. It's so important. Like now, it's like to me, it's like you guys have a visual now.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, we knew you had antics. We knew you had vocal, like the vocal variety and can traject and like make you laugh. We knew you had levels.
Yeah.
Now y'all have image.
Yeah.
You know,
certainly
and nobody would have thought you guys would be image guys. That's a Jericho thing.
Yes.
You guys are image guys.
He taught us.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know? It rubs off.
It's funny you say that because
Like myself, I never had all my career, I never had a logo.
Yeah,
I've never been a logo guy. Now, I'm like,
logo everywhere.
Yeah. I have a logo.
Yeah.
And people are like, what does it mean? What is that? Does this mean that? I'm like, huh, now it's making people think I have a logo. Now I'm like, I can be a logo guy now.
And when you switched it up, like, I think it was just maybe at the tail end of the stuff you're doing on 205, I think it was. You had just switched up that look a little bit. Because I think you went to the...
I didn't even ask. I just did it.
Right. At first, you had the short tights and stuff. Your hair was shorter, and you had the round glasses. And I remember you had a denim vest, and it was a good look. But then you found this one.
Glasses. You had the glasses.
Yeah, it was the round glasses. Right? And like, then you found this
Jazz
one.
Jazz man.
And it was like, oh, man, it was the piano man.
Yeah, like that's one thing I was like, I always wanted music to be incorporated. It's always been like, because I remember when I debuted in CZW, Sammy Callahan, God bless him. He told me like everybody's going to come out with hard hip hop or hard metal, especially it was like 2011. It was like everybody's going to come out with something hard.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go the opposite way. I got something. We were riding up here and we just put on like a best of like the 80s or something like that. And this came on. What do you think? And it was best 70s technically. Jackson 5. I Want You Back. And so everybody's seeing
What a change.
It was like everybody was like, wait, I kinda like this. It put an instant smile on people's face.
Yeah.
And I was like,
and makes them pay attention.
Yes. And I'm like, okay, now I gotta see what he's gonna do.
Yeah.
And you know,
who's this guy?
Yeah. And, that, and this was CZW, hard,
right, which in Philly. That's an audience to,
in Philly.
Yeah.
So the fact that I kind of went the other way, I got more respect from the audience because of that, in a sense. So I never really got like the who are you chants or don't come back, or I never really got those. But I also never got the please come back chants either. So, but
so you're right in the middle.
I was
right in the middle.
But I'll
real and different.
Yeah. But I'll take that though, because that means like I want. Just we'll wait to give them.
Let's get to know.
Let's see
them
again.
Let's get to know.
At least they genuinely cared.
Yes.
You know. Not. You know what I mean. And so that evolved into "Ain't Nobody," Chaka Khan.
Yeah.
So like music kind of always carried me through my career. Now it's like okay, now it's national TV. How do I find the freaking sound? And then now I'm like I got to making my own music, but I was like, how do I still stay music oriented? And then it became like. I cut the promo on Rampage, Rampage against Tony Nese. And I was I was like, he called me a rapper. I'm like, I'm not a rapper, I'm a mogul. And I was like, maybe I'm above music. Maybe I'm above the rap. Maybe I'm not the rapper now. Maybe I'm the entity.
And it's not a word you hear all the time.
It's not a word you hear in wrestling.
Yeah, ever. That's for sure.
Yeah. So I'm just like, maybe that's it just started carrying things. I'm like, I don't have friends. Yeah. I don't have friends. Friends leave you. Like, I don't have, there's no love in this industry. I don't love anybody. Nobody loves me either, but they need me and I need them. They're affiliates. We're affiliates.
Oh, that's what the two guys are.
They're affiliates. They're not my friends.
Nope. Parker
Brando. I don't have friends. Like, friends? Friends? No. Friends,
TV show.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Austin Rachel.
That is good.
That's hilarious.
I thought it was Robbie E for a second. Sure.
Yeah. Robbie. Man, so this is a pivot, man. We've been talking a lot of wrestling. Let's talk about some.
God, yes.
Yo, so actually, we're still talking about wrestling, kind of.
Talking about NFL. You want to pick the games this weekend?
We're going to get to that. The Fightful Select and then PWI's awards came. Use your phone. Look, who won these awards?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't even. Fightful. Yeah, or I see everybody got the plaques.
Fightful Select Awards 2022. Yeah, it's bangers.
In my ass. Yeah.
Who cares?
Fightful Select Awards. Here we go.
I remember the one year it was like a lot of just AEW across the board. Now they kind of like evened it out more with like WWE and all that stuff.
I think Josh Alexander, Jordan Grace, Mike Bailey, Moore.
What did they win? Who did they win? AEW
winners.
How important are these?
There. We'll talk about our company.
Yeah. Please, for the love of God.
All right. What are we looking for?
What are they showing?
The award for biggest surprise, the winner.
It's not even me.
This is last year, 2000. Yeah, Adam Cole, Bryan Danielson's debut. This is last year.
Yeah, okay.
What are you talking about?
That was big. So who got the award?
Them, I guess.
Both of them.
Ah,
they shared it.
Best moment on the mic, winner. CM Punk returns.
Okay, that was this year.
Yeah, that was definitely this year. What else we got here? Biggest what the fuck moment.
Winner,
the New Year's Eve street fight.
Was that the girls?
Yes.
Yeah. It was.
Was it
Anna and? Yeah.
That was the one with Bunny.
Yeah.
Was that?
Yeah, Anna and Tay against.
Oh, last year.
Yeah.
This is last year. So what are we doing? I don't know. This is very confusing. Fightful.
Moving on.
Bob Ross Sapp. It's very confusing.
Yeah,
Bob.
I tried to give you some pub. Sean, and PWI and Meltzer and all them. Now y'all are wasting my time. Never again. Not on my show. Not on my show. I heard Dave's been putting me over lately.
It's though. Over.
Dave's great.
Who's Dave?
We had Dave Meltzer on our
YouTube
show.
Yeah, we did that one time.
I'll have him on. I'll have him on if he's
great
local.
Dude. Fun to talk to.
He'll say yes.
He will say.
He'll
yes.
Come on.
Yeah. Do I want him in my house though? I don't know.
No, you do it on the Zooms.
No, I like this. You're gonna speak to me a little differently when you're here. Because I'm a little close, you know. Y'all pay attention to these Rolling Stones lists and everything.
Yeah, I mean, I see.
Are y'all music guys, really?
Ish. Not. You know what? Not particularly. No. Like top 40.
Yeah.
Top 40 guys.
No, they're doing two. They did top 200.
Yeah. Okay.
Greatest singers ever.
Yeah,
ever.
They left Celine Dion off the freaking list.
No.
Were we going there? I swear to God, they left Celine off the list.
Yep.
I don't know if you were going there with
trust.
That.
I was eventually going to get there.
How do you leave this woman off?
Then I don't trust the list. The list is wrong.
Quebec hero.
Yeah.
Canadian hero.
One of the greatest songs of all time on a movie soundtrack.
The Titanic, My Heart Will Go On.
My Heart Will Go On is not 200 list worthy.
That's no.
Nope.
Who put the list is wrong.
They must have just forgotten. She's been out of the...
But still.
But speaking of lists...
You're talking vocalist. She comes up. No question. It has to, her, right? And Whitney. Come on.
Right? But speaking of lists, our boy, Chris Jericho, I just saw on his Instagram.
What was that? This? That was a 50? He was a 50
heavy metal singers.
He's 50.
He's 50. That's crazy. Unbelievable.
Love it.
That's right? Incredible. You know why? Because I think it's because he's still going.
Maybe.
He's still going. So I feel like the more current you are, you kind of like jump ahead of a lot of these lists.
It's the recency bias.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt.
It's like, you know, in the season, the NFL season, everybody does the rankings. But if you get the win on Sunday, on Monday, they're pushing you up. Even if you got blown out the week before, which is my problem with the Bengals. They barely beat the Ravens 2 weeks ago with a backup freaking quarterback, okay?
Yeah, that happened.
And everybody's crowning them because they smoked the Bills. Hats off to you, Burrow, okay? They smoked them.
Smoked them.
But you barely snuck by the Ravens, okay? It took a miracle. The fumble on the one-yard line, Bozo takes it 99 yards the other way anyways, huh?
Well, it was the same thing with like the Jags. Sorry. It was the same thing with the Jags. They struggled to get past the Titans.
Yeah,
you know, it took that fumble return Allen. But then they come back 27-0 on the Chargers, who was actually like projected earlier in the season to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, of course, Chargers are a very solid team.
But funny story that game. So I'm watching it right on NBC, and it's 27-0. I'm just like, oh, I'm done. I'm going to bed.
I kind of went to play some fake football on Madden.
So I go to bed because I got a son. He's going to be up at 6:45 no matter what. And then I get a text from Taz. Oh, they needed that before halftime. I'm like, oh, I guess the Jags, they scored. Okay, cool. So I'm just looking at my phone, you know, 20 minutes, still a little early in the night. So I'm not going to bed, like falling asleep right away. And then I see the comebacks on. And my wife tells me, I guess she had checked the score.
I was Instagramming. They said he threw another touchdown strike to make it 20. I was like, 20? Wait a minute.
So she goes, I think they're coming back. She goes, do you want to get up? I go, no, I'm not getting up. I'm going to ruin it if I get up. So I stayed in bed. I sacrificed for the Khan family.
So that's what did it. That's what got it.
That's what did it. All right? Daddy Magic staying in bed. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Yeah. I like to wear the jerseys at home. I'm become that guy. I'm old now, I wear the hat and the jersey, and I wear my Rams. I'm a Rams, LA Rams. You know.
Okay, there you go. You're a St. Louis Rams guy.
Oh yeah, greatest show on turf.
Yeah, greatest show on turf. Isaac Bruce,
Marshall Faulk, Torrey Holt, Kevin Curtis, all them guys. Dre Bly.
Wow,
I know him. Bly, I know him. Leonard Little. I was there with the Mark Bulger days. I was there with
Mark Bulger, Trent Green,
the Brady Quinn days. Those are some thin years. Ooh.
Here's our boys.
Yeah, you know, doing the thing. I'm doing through. So, like I said, at least we got
a rough one this year.
At least we got our Super Bowl in this decade.
You went all in.
We got it within the 2020s plus.
You can coast for a little bit.
We can run coast for a little. So bit. I was actually more proud of Stafford finally getting his.
Yeah.
Because it was always those years of like, is he that guy? Is he that guy? You know, he could throw the ball.
It's like he had Megatron for all those years, and they didn't make the playoffs.
He never had a defense. He never had a pass rush defense. He never had a defense that people need to understand, no matter how good your quarterback is, if you don't have a defense that can put him in position to win, he's no good. That's what happened. Yeah, you're done. So you need a defense to play the field position game. So he can, doesn't have to throw 80-yard drives and doesn't have to waste 8-9 minutes off the clock to get up. Yeah. Like, no, we got a defense that got the interception, but got the fumble. We're starting at the 40.
Yeah.
Anybody can, now your whole play calls are different. Sure. Your whole, mindset is different. Your confidence is up. There's, all these things come to play. It's not momentum. Momentum. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The crowd, we shutting them up now. Yeah. They're not so loud anymore. Yeah. There's only, two people that can really, get momentum from that, and that's like Tom Brady and stuff like that.
That's a franchise.
They are fun to watch now.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Didn't they go? What they go 7-1 to end the season?
Yeah.
To finish 8.
They were.
9-8,
they are
eight
fun.
And nine.
Like no. Amon Ross St. Brown, a stud.
Yeah.
Stud.
A big fantasy football guy. Huh?
I don't do fantasy. I just like. I just like
Madden.
Yeah. Yeah.
You do a lot of Madden.
I do a lot of Madden. Okay. I'm a video game guy. Yeah. Fantasy, I'm like, I don't know.
Okay.
Because it takes too much focus to watch. And, like, you got to watch everybody or all. Like, I'm like, I watch my Red Zone and I play my Madden. I keep it fun.
Yeah, you got to dedicate. You got
to
watch.
I'm not going to your house to get on the board and put, like, I'm not doing all that. No. It's too much. Too much. You come to my house. But anyway, I do stay up with the sports. I love going to the Jacksonville games.
Oh, that's fun.
I really enjoy that. Thank you, Tony. Like, mega. Appreciate the seats and the parking.
Oh, yeah.
The parking. Oh, thank the parking. Lord.
It's a mess out there. If you know. It's a disaster.
I'm like, I will walk across this highway. Yeah. The bridge.
Yeah, across the bridge.
The bridge. Across the bridge. But I think this was a really fun season. We're coming to a head. Yeah. Who do we have tomorrow? Sunday.
I mean, so I'm a Chiefs fan, lifelong Chiefs fan.
What brought you to the Chiefs?
I was Joe Montana. Truth be told,
I was about to say Dante Hall.
Priest Holmes. Priest. I mean, that was.
I was a Priest Holmes fan.
But it was 94, 95. He was also on Joe Montana football, and then that transitioned to NFL football with Joe Montana, like 94, 95, and he's on the cover in the Chiefs jersey, and I was just like,
That's my guy.
That is my team. And then it was 25 years of misery. A lot of misery, a lot of tears,
and now we've
been blessed.
Who would have put Pat Mahomes as this, like, the new sensation?
I remember when we drafted him because we had Alex Smith and we had a great season.
Smith is cool, but he's like the Kirk Cousins,
right? But it was like we finally had stability at that position where we had never had since Joe, and I was like, oh no, this is crazy. I don't know this kid. Where is he from? Texas something. I didn't know. I honestly didn't know. But God bless Brett Veach. He knew. Andy knew, and we got it done. You know.
Where that boy?
Come on now, Swerve.
Where that boy?
We're on the clock here, folks.
Keep talking. God damn it.
Well, so what do we get? So anyway, he hurt his ankle last week. And I don't trust it.
Yeah, Texas Tech. You're right. Texas Tech.
I knew it.
You better know where your quarterback's from.
He hurt his ankle. High ankle sprain. I've been watching him all week.
Actually. And they're going to needle that thing up, and he's going to be freaking.
Oh, yeah, but screw Burrow. I can't stand these guys.
You don't like them?
No. I mean, I did until he's beaten us three times in a row. And the arrogance. Did you say? Watch Cincinnati Mayor that put out a little message. This loser, one of the biggest losers you'll ever see, I promise you. Okay, now you pull it up after we're done here, okay? Rene Paquette, John Moxley, this is your town? This is the guy that
Sammy
leads
Callahan,
your town?
Zach Wentz.
Oh, my God. You know?
Yeah, those guys.
People losers. So I can't.
Orange is a horrible color to wear.
With that, I mean, first of all, I think they have the greatest helmets in all.
Don't say that to Taz.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Great helmet.
With that said, I'm taking the Bengals to
win. Oh, really?
Yeah. Because I'm a very negative person. Yeah. I'm a very negative fan.
Yeah.
And
set the bar low.
I just got to do what I got to do for the
curtail
team.
Curtail your hopes.
Get into, you know, that's just what I got to do mode. For success. Like, I stayed in bed for the Jags and the Khan family. I got to be in a negative mindset going into Sunday.
I'll tell you one. I just love where the AFC is at with the young quarterbacks right now. We're going to be entertained for the next 10, 15 years with these quarterbacks in the AFC.
Sure. Everyone stays healthy.
And Trevor Lawrence, I don't know where, had a great
Trevor
year.
Lawrence.
You know
what
I mean? What a turnaround from last season.
Man, all I'm telling you right now, Trevor needs like that go up top skill player.
You should tell Tony. Yeah, about this.
Actually. I mean, I know he has Calvin Ridley coming. Calvin Ridley's coming.
You should tell Tony.
Tony, let's go get Davante Adams. Give him whatever he wants. Yeah.
You watch those transitions through leagues. Look, maybe I guess like a decade ago was very cropper running backs were coming.
Oh yeah,
it was just all running backs.
Studs.
And then that switches over to now it's just quarterback city.
I was just talking to my buddy. I'm like, there's no more Ray Lewis's. There's no more Patrick Willis's.
Yeah.
The Luke Kuechly's. That position is like, you got Fred Warner, but that's just the one. We don't have that Lawrence Dominant. Taylor.
Yeah, the linebacker?
Yeah, the middle linebacker. Yeah. The main guy, the play caller.
The captain.
Like, we picked up freaking Bobby Wagner, and it didn't matter. Because, it's all about that edge. Yeah. Can you get pressure Jones, off the edge? Yeah. Chris Jones's, Aaron Donald's. Yeah. Like those, the Micah Parsons, you gotta get out the edge. Montez Sweats, Daniil Hunters, you gotta come off the edge. You have to have speed. You gotta have speed coming off the edge.
So especially now in this league.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. These plays are like.
Everybody is fast.
Everybody.
Everybody.
All of them.
330-pound
light.
Give me a 4-3? Yeah. Oh, yeah. it all started with those Alden Smiths.
Yeah.
Man, ran a 4.29 or whatever.
What world? Look at Aaron Donald. How jacked he is.
Yeah. He is. I met him the night we won the Super Bowl in LA.
Really?
And I went to the banquet.
Wow. I had no idea.
I went to the banquet because shout out Nita Strauss, former guest on the Swerve City podcast, and Josh. I was just in LA watching the game, and then like he called me. He's like, "Yo, man, it was crazy, man. It's been awesome, man." And I was like, "Yeah, it's great." He's like, "Yeah, I'm at the banquet. Where you at?"
You went to the Super Bowl.
I didn't go to the Super Bowl. Okay. I just went to a party.
Okay.
And watched it, but I went back to my Airbnb, and then he was like, "Wait, you're in town? I got a guest pass. Come through." I was like, getting him up. Called an Uber, went right out there.
That's tremendous.
Walked around, met a couple players, but it was like late, so a lot of guys were like heading out now. So I met like some of the people. And I was like, all right, I think I'm gonna head out. Walking by, and I see in the corner of the table, just like I was like, Aaron Donald right there with like his three security guards. That man was chilling. He was just a simple dude. He wasn't blinged out or crazy. He had like one little chain, a flannel on. He was just chilling, having a good time. I'm like, yeah. He had like just two security guys, right. But like he had his girl with him, his friends, and his security. I went over and I was like, mind if I say hi? I was literally wearing his jersey.
Yeah.
And he was like, yo, man, yeah, nice to meet you. That brought in a hug. Yeah. I'm like, they just weren't allowing pictures because it was the banquet and all that. Sure. But, like, I was just like, I don't need a picture. Yeah. That, like, the night we won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That is, like, a mental picture in my brain that's going to be instilled with me forever.
That's a story you're going to be telling on the couch 40 years from now, you know?
And I will, like, even when he's long gone, retired, I'm going to wear this jersey.
Yeah.
No matter what. Like, it's special when you meet your guys.
Of course.
And they're great.
But they're great guys. Yeah. They treat you awesome.
Yeah. Well, like, again.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it comes they full treat circle, you great.
You grow up idolizing it.
Hey, Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
One of my greatest people I've ever met in this wrestling business still to this day. Autographed the whole
Lucha. Such a nice dude.
Oh, he's awesome.
Like, yeah. There's something so nice about that when you meet people that you look up to or admire and like, they're just great people. It's like, this is awesome. I'm glad you're a good person.
Oh, thank God.
The Stinger.
The Stinger. Great.
The Stinger.
My goodness.
Awesome people. We can go on a list. Like, Big Show, awesome.
Yeah.
I love talking to Paul.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Mark Henry.
Mark Henry, what a guy.
Oh, yeah. Gem. Talk to him. I have to talk to him every week. I make it a point.
Say hello.
I have to just, mm-hmm. I have to
pay
just
your respects.
Have a conversation with him every week. And y'all big video gamers?
Nope. We're adults. How about that, huh?
Y'all watch anything like television? What are y'all watching on TV? Movies wise,
this would have been Office right now again.
This would have been a really good chit trap. But post that. Our segment of the show. Office reruns.
No, I just going through it with
just
my
giving
wife.
A run through.
Yeah,
all the classics. You know, your Sopranos, The Wire.
Mm-hmm. I'm watching that new. There's some good out there right now.
I was talking with Adam Cole the other night, and he gave me some show. Garcia gave me a show. Garcia tweeted about something today. It was like The Wire, but it's English.
Yeah, he was saying
Top Boy.
Top
Boy's great. I never watched it, but I heard it's like.
There you go.
I might need to get into it. It's like I might because I've been hearing Top Boy for on every podcast or forum I listen to. Everybody universally loves it right now. Last of Us is kicking ass. It's
I've heard
incredible.
That was one
incredible.
Luchasaurus told me something today, and he's like, "Do you have Hulu? You got to watch it." I'm like, "I'm not getting a Hulu. I gotta get.
Come on.
You know how many subscriptions I have?
Not enough.
It's enough. Not enough. You know. Yeah. Good point.
There are some good Hulu exclusive shows, like you're probably not into the 50 Cent universe.
Why you say that? What if I am?
You're not even watching Hulu.
Big 50 Cent guy. Big 50 Cent.
I love the vitamin water.
Yeah, I'm
gonna
powder my nose.
Yeah, you get into the you got the stars.
I love In the Club.
Did you like the candy shop?
Candy shop. It's pretty good. Pimp. P-I-M-P.
Get Rich. It's a horribly great bad movie.
You know,
I love it, though. I love it.
About me. I don't know why V-I-M-P. Huh? How about that? Who used to come out to that? Somebody used to come out to that.
If some, please.
Shawn Michaels' student. He did Ultimate X a couple times. Matt Bentley. God, was that his name? Michael Shane.
Angelo Parker, please come back.
Michael Shane, soon. What's the problem? What's wrong? What's the problem?
You're rapping. I don't like this. Rapping. I don't like the rapping. You're doing the raps.
Are you a rap guy?
Are you in the MCU? I don't know what that is. Marvel?
No.
Jesus Christ.
No. You know what I'm into these days? You ever watch Miss Rachel? Huh?
Y'all are old. Miss Rachel. Y'all are old.
No. She'd say, show for toddlers. We sing O McDonald.
Old McDonald. Oh, yeah.
Is it Old McDonald or O McDonald?
I thought it was old.
I thought it was old, but
McDonald's old.
She says old. Old McDonald had a farm.
Oh, E-I-E-I-O. Angelo!
How about that?
Hurry up.
What else you want to talk about? This Annie? How terrible it is!
You watched the Golden Globes?
They've actually improved. No, I'm not watching the Golden Globes.
You should have watched the Golden Globes.
Oh, they passed already. When's the Academy Awards? Around the corner.
We just had a Golden Globes winner.
Who?
In L.A.
Who?
Paul Hauser?
I don't know who that is.
Jeff Jarrett hit him in the head with a guitar.
Oh, yeah, brother. That's right. He did a great job.
He's fantastic.
He did a great job.
He better be good. He's a Golden Globe winner.
Yeah, he was terrific. And you could tell that he loved wrestling. I just dropped the cap and now it's really going to bother me.
It's going to bother me.
And I love that he buried the other guys. That was nice.
He's tremendous. Like, coming in, like, when I was up in the parking lot.
I don't want to ruin the sound, but can I push this away?
So while you're in the bathroom, old Daddy Magic here doesn't watch
music.
He loves the rap. He loves the 50 Cents, and he does not like the Marvel Universes or any of the movies.
No.
You don't get into it. Yeah.
I mean, I've watched them.
I've outgrown them.
Whatever.
You know, what year is this?
I read the.
Have to grow up. Can we have real movies again?
I read the Civil War.
We have rom coms.
No.
You know what? I miss a good comedy.
They don't exist.
I do miss a good
comedy. I miss a good, like. So, I miss a good American Pie. I miss a good Hangover. I miss a good, like.
You know what? I watched the other day, which is a really fun movie, is the Weird Al documentary.
The documentary or the movie?
The movie. Biography. Sorry, not documentary. Biography.
With Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah.
Okay, it was downstairs. I didn't really pay attention. I was like, this is a little.
So it's in that vein of just ridiculous comedy. Because it's not. Spoilers to anybody if you haven't seen it yet.
Turn it off.
But it's not an actual biography pick. It's just a parody of.
Okay.
So it's.
Because I saw him like doing karate in the kitchen, and his wife is like Pablo Escobar. So I'm like.
Yeah. It was fun.
I love Narcos.
Narcos
is a great show.
Very good.
Great show.
I can't remember what podcast I was listening to the other day, but someone was talking about the movie industry, and they're basically saying how there's no room anymore for those smaller movies. Yeah, because you either got to do an independent film or you got to do a blockbuster. Mm-hmm. And there's no real in between now for those,
I don't know, like the A24 studio productions.
They do some of
them. They are like,
I think streaming has something to do, like it kind
of
ruined.
Oh yeah, stream is ruining a lot of things right now. But like
A24.
I just watched Pearl for the first time. Oh, excellent. So you watch X and then watch Pearl. Yeah. Like
everything they do is good. I haven't seen anything from them that I was.
They're
like,
rocking right now. So good. My favorite movie of 2022 was Barbarian.
Yeah, same. I haven't watched it yet either.
Oh, I don't want to tell you anything about it. And don't look up any trailers. Nah. There's barely any to find.
Was the Warlord in there?
just Barb.
Yeah, I hope you do get to
it. No trailer watcher. I don't watch trailers.
No,
because especially for comedies, dude. They give away the best stuff in the trailer.
Yeah,
and then you just watch a lot. Okay, everything else.
That's what I'm saying. There's no good comedies again. Nah. Like they're not like those risque, edgy. Right.
They're taking a risk. They don't want to take the risk anymore because
I haven't seen a good stand-up special in a while either. Besides, outside of like Dave Chappelle,
Bill Burr's new one was solid. He went back to.
Did he get in trouble?
He towed that line.
Yeah,
no more than he had been.
Yeah, there's your friend. He's about to fight. He was about to do something.
Bill Maher recently, I thought that was pretty good.
Ari Shaffir's newest one is fantastic. It's just on. I think it's called Jew.
It is called Jew.
It was amazing.
I went to see Tony Baker. If you don't know Tony Baker on Instagram, the guy that does the voiceovers with the cats and the animals.
Okay,
and
okay.
Hilarious stand up.
So good.
And, like, he's so funny. Like, in person, I got to meet him, meet him backstage and stuff. I wanted to bring him out to LA when we were out there.
Yeah.
But he's taking, like, just hiatus because he's been touring stuff. Great guy.
It was a great comedy special. John LaQuasto's.
John, physical. Shout out John LaQuasto. We had a skit at the end of that. Sort of
physical therapy.
Yeah, on his audio, we have he interrupts our studio session and we kick him out.
That's great. Taking care of our friends, you know. Taking care of
John LaQuasto. We share everything. Yeah. We share. We move it around. And speaking of which, thank you for coming on the Swerve City Podcast, sharing your time, sharing your struggles, your pain, your overcoming those obstacles. Your advice for, if you may not be advice to you, but it's advice to somebody else out there that's watching this, that subscribes to our show, then it's going to take, like, they probably hit their wall and they're like, they can't find a way to, like, get any further. Maybe what y'all told, like, the situation y'all were in can really inspire them to, you know what, I'm going to change direction and actually pivot, and I'm going to pivot.
Something we always went by is just, like, you don't quit.
You don't quit.
Like, you're going to find a way to get there eventually. It might not be what you thought it was. You know, like, look, we thought we'd have a 15-year career in WWE. Didn't work out that way.
Right.
It ended up, like, look, getting fired was the worst thing that ever happened to us. Like, his wife is pregnant. We're Canadian. They're kind of forcing us together.
You have a small window of time to make things happen.
Wanted us out of the country.
Yeah. Yep.
And it was just your whole world collapse. And then all of a sudden, it's the greatest thing that ever happened.
Yeah. Exactly.
By far the greatest thing that ever happened.
I was just listening to something from Denzel Washington. He was doing an interview, and he said, you won't start your journey without commitment, and you won't finish your journey without consistency.
Yeah.
Facts. Stay doing what you guys do. Yep. Don't change. Maybe modify.
Yes.
But you don't change what y'all are doing. Y'all adapt. Yeah. Just like that legend.
Be ready to adapt.
Yeah. Just like that legend over there on that wall, adapt. Don't be afraid to, like, maneuver, but stay who you are. Stay committed, man. Keep doing it. Y'all are amazing. JAS over here, Daddy Magic, Angelo Parker, two of my favorite people on the AEW roster in the wrestling industry, period. Welcome back anytime.
Heck yeah.
Y'all legends on this show now. Y'all legends, man.
Maybe I want to be on the wall.
Maybe I'll play a video game and talk about
video games.
Have a good Mario Brothers 3.
I do.
Super episode.
I have a PlayStation 3 right here.
That's the only console.
That's the one.
That and a Wii.
I love it. I love it so much.
Wii is fun. The Wii is.
This is the only. No. This is the only thing that me and TZ literally get into chess matches over. Fight Night 3.
Oh, that was a blast.
Yeah. Like, we've spent an hour in here on one fight. Because we went 15 rounds.
That's ridiculous.
I'm like, who set this to 15 rounds? Oh, blistered. Blistered. Because some of those don't even have the rubber on it. So we're just like slicing.
It's like playing Madden and doing the whole 60 minutes. Beat you.
Well, he does better with the faster guys because he's a better counter puncher. I'm a heavy puncher. So when we get heavyweights, I get them. And when we start getting down to the weight classes and we get quick and I got a time punt blocks and counters, he gets me. But heavy punches, I'm like, rocked him, boom.
Still hold a grudge? That's fair.
We got to play. We got the Super Bowl tonight. I got to play him.
Super
Bowl. I am the Dolphins. I am the Dolphins, and he is, who is TZ? I forget who he is. Seattle, yeah.
Oh, good guess.
Daddy Magic. He is
good
Seattle.
Answer.
Yes, he is answer. Seattle. He is Seattle. But we did fantasy draft, so he has Trevor Lawrence. I have Lamar Jackson.
Oh, wow. Ooh.
But he has some weapons. He has a great defense. His defense is better than mine. I'll give him that. But I have Jalen Waddle, Jamison Williamson, and Dawson Knox with Breece Hall out the backfield.
I believe.
Very nice.
That's how we're going to close this episode.
Please keep us posted on who wins the Super Bowl.
Are there commercials during it?
Okay.
This has been great.
That would mean we make money.
An absolute
and we're not. Be confident in everything you do. Wash your ass and do your homework.
Pretty close.
Wash your ass and do your homework.
Wash your ass and do your homework.
That's great.